Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Steve Vaughn also in studio with us. And today we're going to identify what's going on in the times around us. It is appropriate, I think, to lament the conditions that we find around us. I know from time to time some might think that we are negative, but Jesus was negative as well as the prophets of the Old Testament. As they considered the times, Jesus lamented the religious situation of the day in Matthew chapter 23, and his lament was hard and strong. And at points, there was an indignation, and at points, a grief that came to him. And the same should happen to us, especially in a time of serious, serious spiritual apostasy, which so represents the Western world that has become a corruption to other nations around the world as well. Well, in all of this, let's not ignore, let's not forget what has happened to the children. What is going on to the children, especially in this generation? Since 1973, of course, America has legitimized the slaughter of the innocents, and some 80 million children have been killed, probably more than that if you include those who have been killed by the use of chemicals and abortifacients. Maybe 100, maybe 120 million children killed for convenience sake. That is, the reason why people kill their kids is because they cost money, or because they might produce some shame, or because they are inconvenient for some other reason. But Americans have killed between 80 million and 150 million children since 1960 with the development of the birth control pill, and of course, the legitimization of abortion in Colorado in 1967. This state has legitimized abortion and has enabled abortion for at least 52 years. Friends, America has killed many, many, many children for convenience sake. And New York State, as of last week, allows for infanticide as well as part of a radically pro-abortion bill signed by the governor of that state. And New York will allow for infanticide, the Gosnell treatment, where they snip the spinal cords of babies crying out on the table. It's a horrible thing. It's a bloody thing. The New York governor's got a fair amount of blood on his hands at this point.
Yeah, it sounds similar to the law in Illinois that when it came up that Barack Obama voted against, where if it's a botched abortion, baby born alive, they'd stick him in a room by themselves until they would just die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, infanticide, effectively. Enabling hospitals to commit infanticide. This is going on in New York State and across America thanks to the abortifacient birth control pill and surgical abortions. Many, many children, many millions of children, as many as 150 million children aborted or killed in some way in the womb over the last 45 to 50 years. But it's not just that children are victimized by abortion. Children are victimized in many other ways as well. The liberals will groom kids for varying types of fornication through the public schools, through Planned Parenthood programs, through media, and through other means. You know, when I set out to write a history of America from a biblical Christian worldview perspective, it's called America and God's Providence, I dedicated chapter 64 in the book to the corruption and destruction of children. That's the title of the chapter, because I felt that, at least from God's perspective, if we were to take a look at the important issues and significant issues that are tearing this nation apart, from God's perspective, would we dedicate an entire chapter to the corruption and destruction of children? And I think, of course, we would. And I appeal to America's use of abortion, and of course, also America's tendency to sexualize and homosexualize the kids through the media and through educational programs. So I include that in chapter 64 of In God's Providence, the corruption and destruction of children. Well, ABC Good Morning America program celebrated child drag queens on a segment of the program, I guess most recently, maybe within, say, a month or so. And this is fairly grotesque stuff. The Christian Post has an article, how Christians should respond to child drag queens and the sexualizing of kids. Now, this is pretty sick stuff. And I'd say when you're sitting in a hotel breakfast area and they're playing ABC's Good Morning America, which is the only time I ever see it, tell them to turn the sick program off. This is just sick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The advertising and promoting of child drag queens. You know, these child drag queens, they get into these homosexual bars, and I don't want to discuss the kinds of things that go on, but promoted by Good Morning America. This is mainstream media promoting the destruction and the perversion of children.
Yeah. The Bible says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. That they're going to have to face God one day.
It's pretty horrific stuff. ABC, Good Morning America, doing some of the most horrific things you could ever imagine. Why do they pretend to be against child abuse, and yet they're so enthusiastic about the sexualization of kids? Apparently, they really want to get kids into as much sexual sin as possible. And we're talking about 10-year-olds here.
Wow. That's just reprehensible.
It reminds me of Romans 1:28. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, of evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Sounds like ABC television, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So they are so excited, enthralled about certain sexual sins that would require capital punishment, that they not only accept them, but they also delight in 10-year-old children who are beginning to be introduced to these particular sexual perversions. Well, friends, that's what the Word of God says about that. And how do Christians respond to child drag queens and the sexualization of kids on ABC? Don't watch ABC News. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We are back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn also in studio today as we talk of the victimization of children. Friends, the brave new world that we're facing today, it brings with it the destruction, the devastation to children. And this perhaps one of the very worst things you could ever imagine. Our Lord Jesus Christ warned us of this in Matthew 18, that anybody stumbles, one of the least of these who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Friends, this is serious stuff. Abortion, sexualization of children, and surrogacy. This is horrible. And again, we must come back to this nightmarish stuff because these things are so common today and are creeping into the churches. They're affecting Christians. Surrogacy. Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He's warning of the dangers of surrogacy. He says it turns children into a product. This is Christian Post. He says it also severs the one flesh union that God has designed as being the place where children are born. Again, this is not exactly the most conservative of American Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell Moore at least realizes the nightmare of surrogacy, the horrific character of the brave new world that is so destructive. It turns children into products. He says also one can look around and see what's happening all around the world where women in India, for instance, and often in extreme poverty, are being driven into surrogacy arrangements. According to the CDC, the number for gestational carrier cycles as surrogacy moms has increased from 727 in 1999 to now 18,400 infants born out of surrogacy. And that's far more than the number of children that are internationally adopted into America in a given year. Which means now the Brave New World is turning a whole different direction. They're abandoning adoption and they're moving towards this thing called surrogacy. Well, we're hearing of these things happening among Christians. They're going for surrogacy, surrogate wombs. They're renting out their wombs. Now, there are five possibilities for this kind of in vitro fertilization. There's the in vitro of the husband and somebody else's egg into the rental womb. There's the in vitro of the wife's egg and then somebody else's sperm into the rent a womb. Then there's the in vitro of random woman's egg and a man's seed into the rent a womb. And then there's the in vitro of a husband's seed and the wife's egg into the rent a womb. And then there's the in vitro of a man's or husband's seed into the rent a womb's egg. And then the rent a womb takes it for 9 months from there. Now, when they do the in vitro, then here's one of the problems. They fertilize as many as 10 to 20 eggs. And then they store the babies as snowflake children, risking more deaths of children.
Yeah.
That's fundamentally the problem. That's where the problem begins.
Because if you believe, which we do, that life begins at conception, they now have 15 to 20 conceptuses or concepti, and they're only going to implant one to three.
And they've made orphans. And they are not guaranteeing the orphan to have a parent. So they're creating orphans without the possibility or without the strong probability that these children will have adoptive parents. Friends, this is where it begins. It's wrong right here, right now, at this point, even before it's implanted into the womb of the mother. They fertilize as many as 10 to 20 eggs. And they store the babies as snowflake children, risking more deaths and creating more orphans. That's the problem. I wish they would use the Word of God. I wish these ethicists from the Southern Baptists and others would use the Word of God. Exodus 22 is the key passage relating to orphans. But we're going to appeal to that in just a moment. But sometimes they'll implant two to three because they don't know how many will die in the process as well. And so there's an increased risk of loss of the child's life in the womb, in the process. And that's a problem as well.
And there's also the chance that even after they implant that the embryo doesn't split and actually make a twin. And so now you could have two embryos implanted and have quadruplets because they can divide as well.
And in the case of surrogacies, and friends, this is sick stuff. I mean, this is really sick stuff. In the case of surrogacies, they will selectively abort as well if there are too many children conceived in the womb.
Yeah. They call it harvesting.
That's sick stuff. And homosexuals and lesbians, of course, use this surrogacy all the time. This is nasty business, Steve. This is just nasty business. The fundamental problem, of course, is the purposeful creation of orphans in a petri dish or in a foreign womb. That's a violation of Exodus 22. And this is one of the most severe warnings in Scripture. Matthew 18 is one of the most severe warnings in the New Testament because it applies to the treatment of children. Jesus is sensitive to the treatment of children. Exodus 22 refers to the treatment of children. Again, listen, if thou afflict the children or the orphans in any wise, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. That's the word of Jesus. In the Old Testament, Exodus 22, verses 22 to 24, and arguing from lesser to greater, purposefully and needlessly creating an orphan, or many orphans, is worse than afflicting the orphans already there. See, orphans are created typically by their parents getting a disease. Like we have a pastor brother in Myanmar, in Burma, who just yesterday brought three orphans home with him. We had a picture of it. He was up in some far-off region of Myanmar, and there were three orphans that he brought back to his home. Now, they were most likely orphaned because their parents got malaria. But that was an act of God. You see, that happened providentially. It wasn't done intentionally. We don't go out and just shoot moms and dads in order to orphan the children so that we can adopt the children. Does that make sense? To purposely Yes. create the orphan is a wicked thing. So the creation of the orphan is the problem here. The manufacturing of orphans in the petri dish is the problem. And when that happens, listen to me, God's wrath will wax hot against the Genesis that do this, or against the doctors that do this, or against the women that do this, or against the parents that do this, or against the pastors that allow this kind of thing to be done. God's wrath will wax hot, and he will kill you with the sword. Okay, that's the perspective God takes to this. Now, of course, we would call these systems, these men, these women, these doctors that are engaged in this behavior to repent of it, to humble themselves, to repent of the sin, and to say, God, I have attempted to be sovereign. I have violated your laws in bringing this kind of thing about and joining forces with the world, this brave new world that is bringing about such devastation. This calls for repentance, of course. And thankfully, we have a God who forgives. We have a God who sent his only beloved son, his only begotten beloved son, to the cross, that he might die on the cross because we do these kinds of things.
But what if somebody asks, you know, we just wanted a child of our own, and so, you know, we wanted at least some genetic connection between, you know, so I'm arguing from what you might hear.
Well, they need to pray that God would have mercy upon them and open the womb. This is what Christians did. This is what believers did. This is what Hannah did in the Old Testament. She prayed that God would open her womb, and he did. And there's so many cases of barren women in the Old Testament in which they responded in faith and prayer, not by some modern means, some shortcut method. This is much like what Rachel and Leah did in running out and grabbing the mandrakes and trying to use some weird science to bring about their births. No, no, this is an act of faith, and it's this faithlessness of the modern world, always appealing to medical science, always running as hard as they can to the witch doctors and the scientists of the day to solve their problems for them. No, no, our response needs to be faith and prayer. And then secondly, I'm going to encourage them to adopt. There are so many domestic adoptions. There are so many children waiting for domestic adoptions. And I think it would be good to perhaps lay down your life, sacrifice some of your desires in order to provide for the real orphans instead of manufacturing more of them.
Is there any evidence of, you know, psychological detriment from having somebody else, or rent a womb, carry this child for you for 9 months and then give it back to the mom?
Well, there's all kinds of health and psychological risks to children born via surrogacy. Children born through surrogacy are much more likely to suffer from low and very low birth weights by a 4- to 5-fold increase in stillborn births from pregnancies through assisted reproductive technologies. So in other words, the risk of them losing their life is 4- to 5-fold increase. 400% to 500% increase.
Wow.
You're risking children's lives. And that's another thing people aren't realizing. Surrogate pregnancies intentionally sever natural maternal bonding that takes place during pregnancy. A study in the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry found surrogacy children showed higher levels of adjustment difficulties at age 7, and the absence of a gestational connection to the mother may be more problematic. The study also reported that such difficulties may have been underreported by reproductive donation mothers who may have wished to present their children in a positive light. Young adult children also born via anonymous donation suffer serious genealogical bewilderment, according to both empirical studies and actual testimonies. A study in the Journal of Human Reproduction concluded disclosure to children conceived with donor gametes should not be optional.
Yeah, I mean, you can see something of that when, a child being developed in the mother's womb, and they hear the mother's voice, they hear the father's voice, but if they don't get that for 9 months, and then all of a sudden they go to somebody else, I could see how that could cause some problems.
I don't think this is loving your neighbor as yourself. I can't see how this is loving the child. I don't understand that. Providing the child with a different mother for 9 months, and then adopting the child out, and then readopting the child again, would you like that to happen to you? I just don't think anybody would want that to happen to themselves if it could be avoided. Also, this is the de-relationalizing of society. This is the depersonalizing of society. Taking a child and making him in a petri dish, then transferring him to a fridge, then transferring him to a foreign womb, a professional womb, or a mechanical womb, and then transferring him to daycare, then transferring him to a K-12 school funded by a $10 trillion government bureaucracy. I just don't see how that is ever going to salvage any kind of human personality. This is the destruction of human relationship. The world is creating a depersonalized world. It's a form of suicide, really. It's a form of death. It's an abandonment of God. The abandonment of relationship is the abandonment of life. It's Cain killing his relationship with God. He kills his relationship with his brother and wanders like a vagabond east of Eden. It's a world without personality. It's a world without God. And so that's another issue. That's what this brave new world is creating for itself. Read Plato's Republic if you want to know what a derelationalized, depersonalized world is in the humanist mind. This is the final arrival to the depersonalized world. Also, the violation of a woman with another man's seed is another issue here. And I think women need to think about this for a second. Does God want another man's seed, not your husband's seed, but another man's seed planted inside of you? See, God remembers where the seed came from. Humans forget, but God doesn't forget. Also, people are buying children. And there's a ton of greed going on in all of this. And children are the victims of it. And that's also a galling element of this horrible business called surrogacy. People take advantage of poor women that don't have much of an income. And surrogacy often depends on the exploitation of low income of poor women by those who have the means to pay for surrogacy. You know, the European Parliament, now this would not be necessarily the epitome of Christian ethics. Okay, but the European Parliament stated in a 2011 resolution, surrogacy is an exploitation of the female body and her reproductive organs.
Wow.
It's an exploitation of the female body and her reproductive organs. Well, friends, I think the fundamental problem, of course, is the reason people do this. And the reason people do a lot of weird things in a brave new world is that they really don't fear God. The fear of God is the farthest from their minds. The reverence for God, the quaking, the trembling before his law, the trembling before his word, just simply doesn't happen in the mind of the modern and so many Christians who just attend church to tap their foot to some neat tune that they're hearing and engage in a romanticized spiritual experience that doesn't mean anything. No, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, especially when it comes to the knowledge of the value of the human soul, especially when it comes to the knowledge of our sin, especially when it comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross because we are dreadful sinners and we need his redemption. We need to be delivered from this tendency towards self-centeredness, this tendency towards greed, this tendency towards manufacturing orphans at our own expense. And of course, 80 million babies killed through surrogacy, yes, at points. But yes, the abortifacient birth control pill and the surgical abortions. This is what constitutes the modern life. It is all about me. It's all about selfishness. But thankfully, Jesus was selfless, and he came and he died on the cross for our sins because we were so selfish, in order that we would not be selfish anymore, in order that we would love as he has loved. Well, my friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. Let me encourage you to our little book, Keep the Faith, on Family and Sexuality, as an introduction to what the Word of God says about sexuality. It's just a little hardback called Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. Available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And also, don't forget, the Christian Worldview History book, America in God's Providence, which deals with all of these issues, including one entire chapter dedicated to this subject, because it makes up so much of the legacy of modern America. Get a copy of America in God's Providence at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.